Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our legal expert, attorney Paul Cambria, is joining us on WBEN this morning. Paul, it's always good to talk with you. State lawmakers are continuing to rewrite gun laws in Albany after the Supreme Court ruling on concealed carry. A special session went until 1:30 this morning, then it broke for the night. Lawmakers will be back at it later today. They're overhauling rules, setting restrictions on where firearms can be carried. The thing I want to get to, though, is, among other things, this law would ban guns in bars and restaurants or any private business unless they post a sign allowing them. Now, you're an attorney. You also own a restaurant. What business is going to put up a sign that says guns are welcome?
Yeah, there will be a number of them. And usually in more conservative areas, in places where you might remember when they came up with the SAFE Act and so on guns, there were a lot of signs on certain lawns and places and so on. So, those places will exist. The real question is whether or not those regulations are going to stand up in light of the Supreme Court's decision, because if they restrict it such that in the end people cannot bear arms, if you will, then the argument's going to be made that that's inconsistent with the Supreme Court's decision and those laws will be invalidated.
Is it stretching too far? I believe it was Clarence Thomas who wrote in that Supreme Court decision that something like this could be implemented, sort of a gun-free zone. But when we're talking about, and the governor kind of explains it as an assumption that pretty much everywhere would want to be a gun-free zone, and it would have to be said by a sign or something else that it's not, would that be seen as going too far?
Yeah, I think that the presumption of no carry, the argument is going to be that that's inconsistent with the Supreme Court's decision, that it's the opposite, that the Second Amendment, according to the decision of the Supreme Court, basically presumes that people can bear arms, and that includes carrying in places other than your home. And that a presumption, as suggested by the state, would be inconsistent with that. I'm sure that is the challenge that's going to be made. And these so-called, sensitive zones where you can't have a gun, to say that everything is presumed to be sensitive, I think they're going to say that that's inconsistent with the decision. Probably where there's more fruit, if you will, from the state regulation standpoint, is the kind of guns that you can bear or you can possess and carry. I think now that's a whole different situation, and the Supreme Court even indicated that their decision did not deal with what you could carry. In other words, the ARs, the semi-automatics, that's one of the things. Semi-automatics, there'll be a challenge on how many rounds you can have. as well. If the state regulates those, I think there'll be a challenge on those as well. But there's a greater chance of succeeding on the state's part with regard to what kind of guns you can bear, if you will, or possess, rather than saying every place is sensitive unless somebody says something to the contrary.
You know, you were around when the SAFE Act was approved. How do these changes that are in the works right now compare to when that SAFE Act was adopted?
Yeah, I mean, in that situation, we're talking about background checks and age and so on. You know, those things are still in place, and the Supreme Court's decision did not interfere with those. The big question is, are there going to be so many restrictions by the state on being able to carry in public that it basically attempts to nullify the Supreme Court's decision? That's where the real challenge is going to lie.
Is there an idea that a court could look at the sum of all the restrictions? You know, instead of narrowing in on one particular law or restriction that the state puts on to say whether or not it's constitutional, could they look at the sum of all the parts and say, well, altogether, this creates something that isn't what was intended in the Constitution?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And again, anything is possible these days by courts. We've seen that with regard to the latest Supreme Court decisions, where when the court wanted to get to a certain place, they figured out a way to get there. And like I say, I think that that there'll be lots of challenges. There's no doubt about that. But I think the most fruitful area of control, if you will, by the state will be the kinds of weapons. I mean, a lot of people have said, well, if you didn't have these semi-automatic weapons, you know, you wouldn't have these mass killings and so on. So I think that's where the state will be successful.
Paul, I want to ask also about another Supreme Court decision this week. It was a 5-4 opinion, and it handed states more power over Native American land. This court was involving an Oklahoma case. Oklahoma officials will have jurisdiction over crimes involving non-Native Americans in Native territory. Until this ruling, only tribal and federal authorities, not state officials, could handle criminal prosecutions on that land. How big a deal is this?
Well, yes and no. The states always had the power, like in New York, for example, to enforce the penal laws, to enforce the laws that are of the common good, so to speak. So that's not new. What happened here was the plaintiff in that case, well, the defendant, actually, the person who was convicted and given 30 years, you know, his position was, well, wait a minute, this part of Oklahoma was never assimilated into the state, if you will. It was original Indian territory. It never was taken into the state as part of the state. And so for that reason, only federal laws apply and not state laws. And he was prosecuted under state laws. And basically what the Supreme Court said is, look, everything is part of the state. And the federal government and the state government have concurrent jurisdiction. They can both prosecute you. There isn't really anything surprising about that to me, because for many years, the courts have held that the penal laws apply to citizens on Native territory, whether they be Natives or non-Natives. So to that degree, I'm not surprised by this decision. And in the end, they basically just say both governments have jurisdiction. Everything is part of the state.
We're speaking with Paul Cambria on WBEN Buffalo. Paul, people are kind of wondering what sort of implication that could have here. And, you know, I'll use this as an example, just because we've been talking about it a lot this week. there are all these marijuana dispensaries now on native land. Now, that's not necessarily something the state's shown interest in going after right now, especially with their legalization not far behind. But, you know, just kind of speaking in general, something like that, not legal here in New York State, but it's popping up on native territory. Could the state now go after a dispensary or potentially somebody who's not native, goes on to native land, you know, purchases marijuana or, you know, something else, heads back to their home outside of native land? Are there implications here?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting area. And the reason I say that is that I think that marijuana sales will, if it goes through the courts, and it will become like gambling, if you will. There's a Supreme Court decision from many years ago called Cabazon, which basically says if something is not outlawed by a state, it's only regulated, then it is something that Native Americans can participate in under certain circumstances. For example, gambling. Before gambling was, when gambling was outlawed, I had the first case of a Native American with gambling devices while gambling was illegal in New York. And years later, gambling was not illegal anymore. The state got into the lottery business and so on. And under this Cabazon case, it basically says if it isn't illegal in the state and in New York State because of lotteries and so on, it was no longer illegal and it's only regulated, that allowed the natives to enter into a compact with the state and to also participate in gambling. And I think here it's the same thing. The state now has legalized marijuana, and they regulate it. They don't outlaw it. They regulate it. Obviously, some of those regulations, if they're exceeded, can be punished. But I think that this is the same situation, and that the natives have the right, under certain circumstances, to be in this business. Now, will the court say, well, you need to enter into an agreement with the state like you do with gambling, or will it be a matter of this is a product grown on the on native land, and as a result of that, it is a product that once you grow it and sell it, it's almost like farming, if you will, and farming has been an exception for a long time with regard to Native Americans. So in the end, all of this that I'm talking about means that it's a complicated issue. It's not clear cut. And obviously, there'll probably be some litigation, especially since there's a lot of money involved. And anytime there's a lot of money involved, the state's always interested.
All right. Something to watch. Paul, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
That's Paul Cambria, our legal expert here on WBEN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bay Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.